Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om 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 Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Thank you all very much for coming to this special Heritage Day program celebrating our transcendental heritage, our relationship with Lord Krishna and everything that comes with it. However, we have been requested to discuss a very practical subject. How to make decisions. How to make decisions. Am I right? How to make wise decisions. And then, how to execute them with determination. Am I right?
And also how to spiritualize those decisions.
Okay. Yes.
Before you start, I would like to ask all the devotees to go ahead because devotees...
Oh, okay. Please move forward.
Thank you.
And the devotees may come. I didn't realize so many of you were so interested in how to make decisions. And you might well ask, what has this got to do with Krishna consciousness? Or how is it connected at least? And, well, like almost everything else in life, it can be connected, and actually in many important ways it is connected. So what we will do, dear devotees, we will begin on a transcendental note by reading a verse from Bhagavad Gita which is related to some degree. And then we'll look at some very basic principles which you might think are a bit mundane, but they're more to do with common sense. And you know what the problem is with common sense, right? It's not so common. That is a serious problem with common sense. Yeah. So just a few sort of common sense general ideas which can be applied in any context and can definitely be applied in Krishna conscious contexts also. And they can be applied, well, in any context, as we said, including just material contexts. Then, let's see. Anyway, then we'll take it from there, looking at certain Krishna-conscious considerations and considerations related to Krishna consciousness, like, for example, the modes of material nature, how they may influence our decisions. And then we'll carry on. Okay, so we're beginning with a verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 42. Oh, and then we'll go on and talk about, you know, determination, how to actually carry out your decisions, and particularly in Krishna consciousness. And then, oh, very important, then we're going to ask for questions, because you know we have plenty of time today. We have plenty of time. So relax. Make yourselves extremely comfortable, but don't fall asleep. And questions, because, starting program started at 3, and this program, I saw the advertisement, it goes till 9 o'clock tonight. So you better have some good questions, because I'm not going to be talking for the next 5.5 hours. The other way up. But it's all right. I don't think any of you have any, well, I hope you don't have any urgent appointments elsewhere. So let's just see how it goes. But seriously, we want you to think of some questions. And we had some Mahaprasadam from Shishi Nitai Gaurahari. And my idea was that whoever asks the best question, that we would have a little panel to decide who that was and what was the best question. And then that person would get some nice Mahaprasadam. Mercy of Nitai Gaurahari. However, the Mahaprasadam all got it.
I have a bag of Mahaprasadam from
Vrindavan. Oh, you do? Wow. Okay. How much?
Maybe 20 or 30 little pieces.
Wow. Okay. So we will have some little competition. See who can come up with the best question. Okay. And now here, you are allowed to write things down also, because this is practical. I mean, there's going to be quite a bit of practical information here. And, you know, I would expect, at least with some of you, that some of it would actually be quite valuable. Yeah. So you are allowed to write things down. And what about the test at the end? Anyway, we'll save that till another day. But in other words, we want you to get into it and don't just sit there and sort of daydream. Okay, so here we go. A verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 42. Who knows what is Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 42? Who knows? Are you just being humble? Okay, so anyway, it's an important verse. You should learn this verse. And I'm going to, the next section about applying decisions and being determined and decisive and like that, we're going to quote another verse, which is also very important, even arguably perhaps more important. And we will also advise you to learn that. So this now is Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, verse 42. Tasmada jnana sambhutam hritstam jnana sanatana chitvainam samshayam yogam atishto tishta bharata. Translation. Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. Yes. So, you know, there are different reasons why it can be difficult for people to make decisions. But one of them is that they just, they are prone to have doubts, or even, maybe this is a little more connected with the ideas of how decisions are influenced by what modes you're in. But if a person's in the mode of ignorance, then they will be inclined to think negatively about anything and everything. Yeah. They'll be inclined to think negatively, and you know, for those of us who counsel people on you know, on a regular basis from time to time, then sometimes we find a person like that. Whatever you suggest, whatever you suggest, full stop, there's always some problem. I can't do it for some reason. This is called the mode of ignorance. Yes. The mode of ignorance is deadly.
Okay. So, did we run out of battery, or? Could someone just call? Who's the person who knows?
I don't know.
Okay, can you hear me? Some general principles. Now, like I said, this may sound a little mundane, because I am, but don't mind, I am not one of these sort of management gurus or self-help gurus, you know what I mean? Have you heard of Robin Sharma?
He's one of the latest. You heard of him? He is one of the latest. What was it? The monk who sold his Ferrari. Something like that. Yeah, so this is not me. I'm not here just to give you some mundane tips. When I was young, when I was in my teens, before I had heard of Krishna consciousness at all, I read a book by Dale Carnegie called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And, you know, Dale Carnegie's big sort of self-help guru or management guru, whatever you might say. And he had a practice to help people who felt kind of introverted and like, what you call it, inferiority complex type. You know, people who are just sort of trapped by their minds. I mean, everyone's trapped by their minds, but some are trapped in very negative ways about themselves. So his suggestion, his teaching was that if you're that sort of person, what you must do, it's a sadhana. Sadhana means a practice for personal development or spiritual development, really. So what you must do, you must sit in front of a mirror and look at your reflection in the mirror and say, you are great. Wow. You are just a fantastic person. Wow. You are just one of the very best. And in this way, try to indoctrinate yourself. But it is very mundane. So I'm not going to try to encourage that sort of idea. Like I said, these are more common sense things just to get started on the subject of making decisions. So, So, if you have to make an important decision, just sort of, you know, shall I get 2% milk or full cream? Well, that might be important also for some. Not just a simple little decision, but like a serious decision. In Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Vishwa Chakravarti Thakura. How many of you read Madhurya Kadambini? One. Okay, two. So, there's a particular phenomenon which some very young devotees go through. It's called Vyudhavikalpa, which means extensive speculation. And the example he gives to illustrate, a very colorful example, and an example I think many people could relate to, it is, you know, of a question, a decision that needs to be made, important. Should, for a, particularly for a devotee, but for anyone, but particularly for a devotee, should I get married? Or should I remain a brahmachari, brahmacharini, or unmarried? Yes. And then he says that a person who is in that state of extensive speculation, he may think that I should not marry, I should remain celibate, because getting married means many entanglements, you have to work, make money, and look after other people, and, you know, it's a whole, it's a big thing, which is true. So, therefore, I should not get married, very good. But then suddenly, bang, another idea comes. But wait a minute. What if I need to get married? And if I don't, somehow, just because I get sort of hyped up, I will not marry, yeah, like that. And after some time, when I'm now middle-aged, I realize, wow, these desires are very strong and they're not going away, and maybe I should get married at the age of 45, which, you know, is not impossible, but it's definitely well down the track. So yeah, well, you know, what if that happens to me? So maybe I should get married now. Ah, I see. So you see, flip-flop. But if I get married, oh, I may get materially attached to money and big television. And I may feel that I need big motor car. Because after all, as I've mentioned before, I don't know if you remember, in Russia there's a saying, I am not so rich that I can afford a cheap motor car. How's that? So in other words, I should really get a very good car. Because if I get a cheap motor car, it'll break down all the time, and it'll be expensive to fix, and I may get may break down in the middle of nowhere. It may be dangerous. So I am not so rich that I can afford a cheap car. So maybe I'll get materially attached, and I'll think, if I cannot get a Mercedes-Benz, latest model S-Class, I'll die. And if I cannot get big Lani house in Santon or Bryanston, what will people think of me? So, yeah, if I get married, maybe I'll become materially attached and I'll end up just sitting watching television every night and I'll lose my Krishna consciousness. So I think it's better not to get married. But if I don't get married, who will take care of my aged parents? Oh no. And there's a few other examples. You get the idea of Yuddha Vikalpa, extensive speculation from one side to the other. Now, in a very general sense, try and note this, because this is important. It's very important for devotees in Krishna consciousness, and it's actually very important for anyone. Our minds and our intelligences, you know, our sort of psychological capacities, are limited in the sense that we cannot focus on many things at one time. We can only really focus on one thing at one time, and some other things, you know, they're sort of there somewhere, and we can maybe think about them a bit on and off. But, you know, if you have to make a very important decision, there may be 50 considerations. There may be 50. There may be more different considerations. And if you just sit there thinking, well, you know, I have to consider this aspect, I have to consider that aspect, and then you try to make your decision based on just a few of the considerations, it's quite likely your decision will not be good. So what do you do then? You know what Srila Prabhupada said? Good memory means write it down. Srila Prabhupada said that. Good memory means write it down. Good memory does not mean that I'm just, you know, I'm just going to remember. Yeah. So good memory means write it down. Therefore, if you want to make effective decisions in Krishna consciousness or anywhere, write down the considerations, the pluses, the minuses, the interesting points. This is called, in, you know, management speak, doing a PMI. Have you heard of that? Okay, there you go. You learned something again. A PMI. You must do a PMI. Pluses, minuses, and interesting points. You see? Not just pluses and minuses, but interesting points and interesting points, debatable points, questions that need to be answered. You get it? This will help. Then, let's see. Okay, then a related thing, it's part of the same process, sort of part of the same, it's a related process, is to restructure the problem, or whatever the subject is. It may not always be necessary, but in some cases it may not. To rephrase, restructure. What is it I'm trying to decide? Then, let's see. How about this? This is a Krishna conscious one. Think of it as a test from Krishna. Think of it as a test from Krishna. And what do you do when you have a test from Krishna? Well, I mean, there may be many things you do, actually, but, You know what's a very good thing to do? Pray to Krishna. You know, sometimes you may have to make a decision, and you know, you can't exactly do a PMI. PMIs are for big things, you know, generally. Maybe medium to big. But how about this? How about if you were out on the streets distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, and somehow or other, well, you know, when I was doing book distribution in England, they have something like a real police force. Yes. In New York, they have an even more real police force, actually. Wow. They mean business. In South Africa? Oh, it's okay. Cruising. One devotee, some years ago, like 10 years ago, was in the Checkers Center across from our temple in Chatsworth, on the other side, in the Standard Bank, and some gunmen came in and held up the bank. And he somehow or other, you know, hid around the corner and sent a message. And the devotees called the police. And the police station happens to be like 500 meters away, or maybe less even. It's literally around the corner. He said, "Call up the police." Yeah, it's panic stations. And the police rolled up at the bank after the criminals had gone. About 20 minutes after receiving the call. Anyway, don't hug none of your police, because they're a fierce full of serious police, I guess. But in England, they have serious police. And we would be out there distributing books, and we would get arrested. And sometimes, well, actually arrested, I got arrested, I lost count. After maybe 50 times or something like that. Yeah. And, you know, appeared in court and got found, or just pleaded guilty. It's quicker than pleading non-guilty, and you can get back out on the street distributing books quicker, because then you have finally £5 anyway. So yeah, I must have got convicted of, you know, this terrible crime, maybe 50, 60, 100 times, I don't know. So, ladies and gentlemen, you are looking at a criminal, an experienced criminal. But sometimes they don't arrest you, sometimes they just stop you and tell you, you don't do that, you get out. And, you know, they mean business, and if you don't get out, they'll come back and get you after maybe 15 minutes. So you've got to go. Now, how are you going to decide where to go? If you can't call the Sankirtan leader, if you're just there, how are you going to decide? Well, there's certain situations where you just have to pray to Krishna. And think, what would be a good place to go in this context? And pray, please Krishna, please help me, give me some inspiration. And you find many times Krishna gives you nice inspiration, you go to the next place and it all works out. Yes, so, you know, so when you have to make a decision, you should consider previous experience, related experience. We're talking about bigger decisions. Previous related experience, if you've had any. And you know, the interesting thing about thinking about previous experience You know what the interesting thing is? When we think of previous experience, the mind is such, and Maya, the material energy is such, that Maya tends to sort of feed us, if we're thinking about past history, nice recollections, how it was good. Yeah. And not so much how it was bad. So if you are considering previous history, if it's sort of, you know, you did something somewhat similar before, then be careful. Don't just think of the good things, but remember the bad things too. The successes and the failures. What really happened. You know, particularly for devotees, I don't know if you've noticed it, Maya, for devotees who are trying to be serious and follow the principles and practice and maintain the standards like that. You know, from time to time, the mind acts up, and the mind reminds us of what we have done in the past and what we used to like in the past, and our mind may become, you know, attracted. Oh yeah, wow. And we start a little meditation about what we used to do. My previous girlfriends, boyfriends, the previous music I used to like, movies and things. Do any of you, have any of you ever found that your mind plays up a little? One? We have a couple here. Okay. So just note who it was. If you haven't experienced it, you can ask them. Yeah. So the mind, when we, you know, we may have suffered atrociously before we came to Krishna consciousness. We may have really had terrible, terrible experiences of anxiety. But Maya, when she prompts us, oh, remember what you used to do. She's so clever. You remember the good things, you don't remember the bad things. It's because Maya is supplying the ideas. So if there's some decision you have to make on some subject, but you did something similar before, like, you know, getting a new job, moving to a new flat, or getting a new flat, getting a new job, you know, these sorts of things. Maybe possibly changing your course in university, things like this. How about this, Hare Krishna, don't mind, remarrying. Well, we never have to, but anyway, if it came to us, seriously. You know, sometimes, just as a sort of, not perhaps a very nice joke, but in weddings, you know, oftentimes the couple, they don't know, they never did it before, and yeah, they get all sort of mixed up in the course of the different sort of stages of the ceremony. But sometimes we think, don't worry, it's okay, it's easier the second time. But don't mind. But I'm just saying, you may find there are situations which are repeats. Then yes, think of it as a test from Krishna and pray to Krishna. And when you have a test, you want to do your best. You've got to really apply yourself. And let's see here. Well, it's bringing us into the next part, is when you do make a decision, and when you actually make the decision, execute it. Well, we're going to come to that in due course. Now, another very important point. If you you know, we could put this in different ways. If you are not able to make the decision, or, Srila Prabhupada said, if you are not intelligent enough to make a decision, go and ask someone who is. Yes. Get help. Not just from anyone, but go and ask someone who's sort of more tried and tested and proved and experienced. Get some help. Yeah. You know, which can mean, well, like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, of course, classic example. He couldn't decide whether to fight or not. But then he took shelter of Krishna. He just couldn't decide. He couldn't decide. His head was spinning wildly. He had said, if anyone just tells me to put down my Gandiva bow, just to put it down, they just tell me, I'll kill them. And he put the bow, he actually put it down himself, because he was just so lost. So, you know, it's not that you have to be lost in order to take advice. In general, it's a very good idea to take advice, particularly with important decisions. And particularly if you cannot figure it out, you can approach the spiritual master. Or if, you know, we have this program developing more and more around Prabhupada's movement of having counselors. You have, not that you don't have a spiritual master, you have a spiritual master. But on a more sort of local level, more immediate level, someone who's actually in the area where you are, where you're living, someone who you can meet with on a weekly basis or maybe two weekly at the most basis. This is what we hear. And someone who is intelligent enough and experienced enough to understand you, one, enough at least, and two, to be able to actually help you. And in this way, you know, get some guidance, get some advice on a regular basis, get some evaluation of your Krishna consciousness on a regular basis. What do you think of that? And then, of course, ultimately the spiritual master is there. And it is, so to speak, the job, or one of the important parts of the job of a spiritual master, to help the disciples solve their problems, if nobody else can. Yeah. So I hope you made some notes of these things. Did you write them down anywhere? Entrust them to your memories. Good luck. I mean, Hare Krishna. Okay. Okay. So now, another thing in this regard, which I wanted to mention, is that people will be inclined to make decisions in terms of whatever modes of material nature they're under. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that a person who is in the mode of ignorance will be spontaneously attracted to making the wrong decisions. You can read it, it's somewhere there. Either the 14th or 17th chapter. Spontaneously attracted. This is all part of being in tamagun. A person who's more in the mode of passion will be more spontaneously attracted to making decisions which will give some material benefit to me. some material advantage. Whereas a person in the mode of goodness will be able to see more the overall picture and what will be generally beneficial, you know, like to everyone, to the world even, and including oneself. Yeah, so what does this mean? It means that it's very important. You know, it's very important anyway in Krishna consciousness and in life. First of all, not to be entrenched in tamagun. Oh yeah. If you're entrenched in tamagun, then, well, you won't be able to make good decisions in terms of what we're talking about here, but in general, it'll be extremely difficult for you to make progress in Krishna consciousness or just in life if you're in tamagun. What do we mean by in tamagun? We mean if we're lazy, if we like to sleep too much, we actually like it. It's Wednesday, I've got to go to work. Oh no, it's Heritage Day. Wow, fantastic, I can sleep in. Oh. There are people, and you just look at yourself, judge yourself. The people who are in tamagun, they look forward to sleeping. You know, it's like it's an event, it's an upcoming event. In a few hours, I'm going to be able to sleep. Fantastic. People who are, we'll say, devotees, well, anyway, to just tamagun. People who are in tamagun will be attracted to things like, what do you think of this? Sarcasm. Sarcasm is humor in the mode of ignorance. Yeah, sarcasm. Mocking. That sort of mocking attitude. Like that. Yeah. You know, there was that Robin Williams, I'm sure many of you are aware. He was a comedian. I mean, I'm not just trying to show off, but I only heard about him when he died. Actually, I never heard about him before. But he was very funny, apparently. Apparently, like, very gifted at coming up with funny things. Not just scripted, but just coming up with funny things. But on the other hand, from what we hear, he was prone to depression. Depression is an illness or a condition of the mode of ignorance. Yeah. It's very deep and very powerful tamagun. Yes. You know, if one has a tendency, if people have tendencies towards, like, insanity or something like that, insanity is part of tamagun also. Insanity basically means the intelligence loses control of the mind completely, and the mind just runs here and there and everywhere with whatever comes to it. Whereas otherwise, the intelligence orders the mind, or tries. You know, it's very difficult to order the mind completely. But a person is sane while they can order the mind sufficiently so they don't start losing it and just the mental platform just takes over. Yes. So for devotees, it's very important to get out of the mode of ignorance and recognize our mode of ignorance. Because we all have some mode of ignorance. It's just a question of degree. And if we're really, you know, really attached to sleeping or some of these things, then we should recognize this is motive ignorance. It won't help me in my Krishna consciousness in general. And when I try to make decisions, the power of that mode will make it practically impossible, extremely difficult to make good decisions. You know, a devotee who's more in the mode of passion, the devotee who may be more in the mode of ignorance is kind of, you know, wow, look, it's 20 past four, I can take rest at 9 o'clock. Ah, only 4.5 hours to go. A devotee in the mode of passion more may be thinking, okay, you know, they're going to serve prasadam, what time is it? 6 o'clock. Ah. I wonder what they're going to serve. Anyway, you know, prasadam is transcendental. But our attraction towards it is not always. In fact, it may, anyway, to whatever degree, generally, often, all the time, it depends. But our attraction to the mode of passion, to prasadam, may not always be transcendental. You know, of course, it's prasadam, it's Krishna conscious. If you're in Tamagun, you could always try to make the argument, listen, this body is a machine, I've got to rest it enough, otherwise how can I serve Krishna properly? But attraction to prasadam in the wrong ways. So that, for example, if one's sitting here listening to this, one cannot focus because one's thinking about this or that or something else, or what I did, what I'd like to do, what's for prasadam. Or maybe, you know, like, don't mind me saying it, but like, looking at the girls, who's here, looking at the boys, is all part of the mode of passion. Yeah. And we laugh, but these things happen. Yeah. So better to be in goodness. You know, if you're more in the mode of passion, your decisions will be more self-centered for my advantage, and maybe my material advantage also. But if you're in the mode of goodness, well, it's a much better position anyway. Because the mind is clearer, the intelligence is stronger, more established. So in order to make good decisions, and just in order to make progress in Krishna consciousness, and in life even, we should really try to come to the mode of goodness, at least, by cultivating Krishna consciousness. Seriously. Yeah, and also, you know, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna talks about the modes of material nature and how people are in different modes and symptoms like that. Then Lord Krishna talks about how we can change our position in the modes of material nature. Yes. And there's, I can't remember all the different things, but here's some of them. The place you live in, you can change either the actual place you live in, or you can change, you know, the place that you are living in. Like bring it more to the mode of goodness, or get a place which is more in the mode of goodness. Keep your place more in the mode of goodness. Keep it clean, because if you live in a dirty place, your consciousness will become dirty, your consciousness will become influenced, and dirt is generally tamaguna. So, yes, if you change the place that you live in any of these different ways, and really make it a very nice Krishna conscious place with a nice altar, etc., etc., and clean, that will help you change your position in the modes, become elevated. There's a saying, if in one place there is dirt and a Brahman, either the dirt will go or the Brahman will go. If they don't, the Brahman will cease to be a Brahman. Yes. So the place you live in, very important. The company you keep, your association, you can change your association. You know, even if you're working or studying perhaps, you know, you may work in a place where there's many people and, you know, it's not so easy to avoid interaction. But at least you can try to keep to yourself a bit. And don't be in anxiety. You know, I have to become socially acceptable to these people by, you know, on Monday morning, sitting with them while they tell me about the parties they went to, how much they drank, and, you know, the women they conquered, and all these types of things. Don't think that you have to sit there and just, you know, just to be socially acceptable. Don't be afraid that they may think that you're different. You know, you're different. You're really quite different. Because the thing is, you are. You're a devotee. You are different. And don't be afraid of being different. Nicely. In a nice way. You know, always interact nicely. Don't sort of like, you know, reject people in an aggressive way. Anyway, change your association. Even amongst the devotees. Even amongst the devotees. There are devotees on different levels. And there are, I don't know about here in Pretoria, but in general, you know, you definitely get devotees who are kind of tamagun, and they're negative, and they've always got the latest gossip that may be more the mode of passion, actually. Or if they're tamagun, they've always got complaints about this one and that one. And, you know, often the temple president, he's really nice, but... So, yeah. So, but if you associate with more advanced devotees, you'll become more advanced and you'll become more inspired. So like this, who you associate with and how you associate at work or at university perhaps, and even your association amongst the devotees. So that's the second thing. You can change your association and it will help elevate you. Then your work, the type of work you do. Not all jobs are equal. You know, not all jobs are equal at all. So, you know, the ideal situation for a devotee is find some occupation, find some way of maintaining yourself where you do as little work as possible and make as much money as possible. We laugh, but actually it's true. And there are devotees, it takes time. It takes time to learn, you know, how things work in your field. But there are definitely devotees who are temple presidents, you know, but they're actually working people or business people. So, your type of work, you can change your type of work. It may help you be elevated. You can change what you hear, the music you hear, what you hear, what you see, you know, the news, how to get depressed. You want to develop depression, watch the news. Don't worry, you'll be successful. This world is so depressing. Wow, it's a disaster. You know, they're so optimistic about it. But it's just, you know, it's like a carnival, a circus of problems. So, yeah, don't listen, don't watch television, don't listen to mundane music. What you read, that's another thing. Anyway, there are these different things. The food you eat. Yes, only eat prasadam. Try to avoid, you know, unless it's really very, very difficult, try to avoid things like bread from the shop, you know, as much as you can. And, you know, whatever cooked by non-devotees, try to avoid as much as possible. So, because this affects, all these things affect you. They all affect you in general, and they'll affect your decisions too. Okay, so now, our second Bhagavad Gita verse. Have any of you come up with any questions yet? Or is there just that? Okay, well, let's just hold on. Okay, now we're going to read another verse. We're going to read Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, verse 41. Who knows 241? Vyavasayatmaka buddhiya ekeha kuru nandana bahushaka hyanatascha buddhayo vyavasayina. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. Yeah. So, you know, just one interesting point in regard to making decisions is that in so many situations which require decisions, it may not necessarily be that there is one right decision. Sometimes there is. But there may be a number of different possible, you know, reasonable decisions, good decisions. It's possible, quite possible. So when you're trying to make decisions, don't become like, what would you say? Don't overthink. You know, overthinking is part of the mode of passion too. You overthink, you think about it, and think about it, and think about it, and think about it. Yeah, you know, consider everything carefully, take some advice if possible, if practical, make a decision and execute it. Don't try to be too much of a perfectionist, because then you may end up, you just don't really get anywhere. Yeah, so this is very important verse. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. And So here we're talking about determination to execute, to carry out, and make a success of whatever you've decided to do. Yeah. And this, of course, well, this is one of the great classic verses in Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse, and Prabhupada said that it struck him very deeply. I'll just see. I don't know if I can find that commentary. Maybe not. But basically, what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says is that we should fix our minds on the order of the spiritual master and make that order our life and soul. In order to be able to do that, you know, of course, one thing you need an order from your spiritual master. I mean, in one sense, you know, there are orders, there are sort of general orders, like Prabhupada said, to distribute his books as an example. So, you know, you can take that, make that order your life and soul. But it's a very good idea to get some order from your spiritual master, even in terms of your situation in studying or working, how you should live as a householder, if you're a householder, if you're living in the temple, if you're a temple-based devotee. Get some order from the spiritual master and try and really take that to heart. But the thing is, the point in principle is what Krishna is saying here, that we should become determined, and through Krishna consciousness we can become determined. You know, an interesting thing that Prabhupada said, I don't know if you're aware, but at one point, Mahatma Gandhi became celibate. And he really, you know, even though he was married, he still became celibate. And he really focused on his mission, which was, you know, pretty material mission, but still, Prabhupada made the point that because he was so fixed in his celibacy, he was able to defeat the British. So, Prabhupada, Prabhupada made the point that if you want to develop determination, follow the regulative principles very nicely. What do you think of that? Yeah, Prabhupada said, determination comes from maintaining moral principles. Think about that. And Krishna consciousness, you know, Krishna consciousness, of course, is the ideal situation for cultivating that one-pointed type of consciousness. Otherwise, you know, people in material life, people in material life have many interests. They're interested in this and that, and, you know, the movies and some social life and what's going on at work, what's happening in the world, financial things, family matters. As a result, their consciousness, their intelligence becomes splayed, spread out, focused on this, focused on that. As a result of that, their intelligence and their consciousness cannot become sharp and cut through Maya. This is what it requires, actually. When the consciousness becomes sharp through being one-pointed, having that single pointed interest of Krishna in Krishna consciousness, how to serve Krishna, what is my mission in Krishna consciousness, and even though there may be different aspects to your life, different things going on, but they're all in the context of Krishna consciousness, and therefore, you know, they're just parts of that one-pointedness, then one can cut through the material energy. The consciousness can cut through. Otherwise, you know, intelligence is many-branched, and you can't. It just sort of bounces off, bounces back. Can't penetrate through the material energy. So this is what Krishna recommends here in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, verse 41. To become one-pointed in our, like our mission in life, what we're doing in life. And it can include, it's not that it's only for devotees who are living in a temple and just more or less exclusively focused in devotional activities, but it can also include your work, your study, if those things are done in Krishna consciousness. If they're done in Krishna consciousness. There was a devotee named Jayananda. He was a very great devotee. Unfortunately, he passed away many years ago, actually, just before Srila Prabhupada passed away. Jayananda was very amazing devotee. Anyway, I'll come back to that. I'll come back to Jayananda.
What was I saying?
Even if you're not living in a temple and just doing...
Oh yeah, okay. Jayananda. Jayananda was driving a taxi as a job. You know, you may know some taxi drivers. And he wrote to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada, I'm in complete Maya. Total Maya. Because I'm driving a taxi. And all I'm doing, I'm just driving these materialistic people around and facilitating their material lives. I'm driving one to the restaurant so he can eat meat. I'm driving another one to meet his girlfriend so he can have illicit sex. And etc. This is what I'm doing. I'm just facilitating these materialistic people. I'm just in Maya. Prabhupada wrote back. Prabhupada said, no. You are in pure devotional service. Well, at the time, Jayananda was the temple president. And he was using all the money to run the temple. So you may not be, you know, the temple president or using all your money to run the temple. But at least you should use all your money if you're a working person. Use all your money in Krishna conscious ways. Provide, you know, for the family so they can live in Krishna consciousness, in a Krishna conscious house or some sort of dwelling, which is, you know, has a nice Krishna conscious atmosphere, provide food which is then cooked and offered and is prasadam. Yeah. And then, you know, when you go home, instead of just sitting in front of television, have a Krishna conscious evening program. How does that sound? That's a good idea. Yeah. So if, and whatever, you know, excess funds, or at least whatever new books are there and different Krishna conscious things are available, provide them for the family and for yourself. In this way, actually, your, even your working situation can be fully Krishna conscious. Can actually be fully Krishna conscious. So this is this principle of Ekeha Kuru Nandana, trying to really bring one's life into focus like that. And then if you make your decisions to do this and that, and you really carry them out with that resolute determination, which is possible through Krishna consciousness, through really chanting as nicely as you can, and really associating as much as you can with nice devotees, and attending programs as much as you can, doing service as much as you can, like this, then you'll have the potency to be able to carry out whatever your decisions are, including becoming Krishna conscious yourself. Just see what Srila Prabhupada did as an elderly man in his early 70s and then on into his early 80s, established the Krishna consciousness movement, you know, in like an environment, a cultural and social environment, which you could say was much more foreign than the cultural and social environment is today. It's much, Krishna consciousness is much less foreign now, much more accepted. Sachi Kumar Prabhu and I went to PE the other day, Thursday last week, and we went through the security in Johannesburg Airport to, you know, go through to the area where you actually get on the plane. And as we're going through, what should we hear but Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! And it was not some devotees. It was two of the security guards who were checking the bags. Oh yeah. And both of them were Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Right? Oh yeah. It's amazing. You know, but back in those days, back in Prabhupada's time, my gosh, it's like, you know, someone just landed from outer space completely. Oh yeah. So Srila Prabhupada, because of his Krishna consciousness, he had that potency to establish the movement even in such an environment, cultural environment like that. Oh yeah, it's amazing. So we ourselves, you know, from the point of view of spreading Krishna consciousness, it's much easier now than it was then. And just in terms of our lives in general, if we really cultivate Krishna consciousness, if we actually chant 16 rounds and really make every effort to at least try to chant those 16 rounds as attentively as we are able, And if we follow the regulative principles, you know, in Kali Yuga, you don't get karmic reactions for your thoughts. Before Kali Yuga, you would get karmic reactions for your thoughts. Yeah. So if you thought about some, you know, whatever it was, you would get the same reaction as if you did it physically. Yes, but not in Kali Yuga. There's no karma for thoughts. Doesn't mean that if you allow your mind to just think and think and think about mundane things and material life and sense gratification, doesn't mean your mind is not going to get polluted and agitated and attached. It is, but you're not going to get karmic reaction. You know, if you allow it to go on enough, the thinking, you'll perform the activity eventually, then you'll get the reaction. Yes, so, well, that's some mercy in Kali Yuga. But, you know, if we had to get karma for our thoughts, sure, I don't know what life would be like. And when we talk about following the regulative principles, we talk about on the physical level that you don't actually take intoxication as such. You don't drink some liquor or something like that. Or illicit sex means you actually engage in illicit sex. And so on like that. But just imagine if the regulative principle included thinking about it. You know, I don't know if anyone would ever get initiated. The mind police or whatever. You know, if people were actually aware of what we were thinking. Some super telepathic people. Yeah, so the regulative principles deal particularly with actually performing those activities. So we should carefully avoid actually performing those activities, and as much as possible, avoid thinking about those activities by thinking of Krishna, by thinking of devotional service to Krishna, engaging in different activities in devotional service to Krishna, then the mind becomes attracted because there's a nice taste comes when you're engaged like that, and the mind becomes attracted. So let's do like this, and then we'll be able to make decisions of value and carry them out effectively, including the decision to become Krishna conscious. Yeah. Prabhupada said, a devotee should think that today may be my last day. The devotee should live like today's my last day, because, you know, if today was your last day and if you really knew it, you'd be focused in Krishna consciousness if you're a serious devotee. But Prabhupada said for the materialist should live as if they're never going to die. They should think, I'm never going to die. Because if they think, wow, I'm going to die, they'll lose their enthusiasm for sense gratification. They won't be able to get into, you know, eat, drink, and be merry and really get into it, because they'd be thinking, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? So better they think, I'm never going to die. I mean, Prabhupada's speaking with tongue in cheek. But the devotee should think that I may die today, because you may, and one day you will. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Let us got a few questions here. Let's try and answer them. Oh, okay. Oh, and we're meant to give prizes for the best questions. We need a little committee to evaluate the questions. Can you be one? Can you be one? And can you be one? Three. Okay, we'll have to sort of sit together. As regards decisions, ideally they should be dovetailed into Krishna consciousness, but this is not so in everyday life. How do you overcome regret, guilt of wrong decisions made in your personal or work life? Well, as much as possible. Anyway, what did you think of that? Make a note of that. He or she is saying, that you cannot dovetail everything in everyday life in Krishna consciousness. I just said you basically can, directly or indirectly. Directly or indirectly. Yeah. You know, it may take some effort to really sort of get a focus on it in a Krishna conscious way. But you should definitely try to do that. But how do you overcome regret or guilt of wrong decisions? You say in your personal work life, meaning in sort of material situations. But what about wrong decisions you make in Krishna consciousness? Sometimes we make wrong decisions in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So if you make some wrong decision, of course, you know, it depends what the decision is, but if it's not some like massive, huge wrong decision, if it's just a sort of like average wrong decision, something like that, well then I would suggest pray to Krishna. You know, if there's anything to make up, then try and make up for it, but otherwise pray to Krishna. Please help me to be more intelligent and more Krishna conscious next time. Wow, look at this. What is the surest way to advance in spirituality? Well, how about to make the decision to chant 16 rounds a day and follow the regulative principles? That I think that's the surest way to advance in spirituality. When seeking advice, we often hesitate to seek it because we do not trust that there's anyone who really understands us. Is that foolish? Or we don't want to waste people's time when we might be too weak to carry out whatever advice they give. Well, you know, we talked about counselors. There is the spiritual master. So that's, the spiritual master is there. And definitely devotees do ask their spiritual masters for advice. And, you know, you shouldn't be hesitant to do that. I mean, if you feel you really need to. Don't just take any little sort of question turn, but if for very significant questions, decisions, you can certainly go to the spiritual master. But otherwise, amongst the devotees, if you want someone to give some advice, counseling, support, well, it's a fact you have to be a little careful. Because you don't want to go to some devotee and say, listen, you know, I've got a real problem. Do you mind if I tell you? And they say, okay, and you tell them your problem. And the next day, different devotees start walking up to you and saying, oh, we didn't know you had that problem. Because the person you told your problem told other people. So you know what they do in places where they have counselors, They're like their official people. It's not just like one of your friends or someone who's just around and you think, oh, maybe I could take some advice from him or her. But they're actual official people. And they know, and they really know, that confidentiality is just about, you know, the first rule. If not the first, you know, it's one of the very most important. Yeah. So that, but that's there. Otherwise, you know, if they're not confidential, then they will not be counselors any longer. Yeah. So anyway, you would have to, if you feel you need advice, you know, one person you can go to is the temple president. Is he here? He is the universal problem solver. One devotee, Bhadri Narayan Swami, asked Prabhupada, what is the duty of the temple president? Prabhupada said, temple president is the person who, if anything goes wrong in the temple, it is his fault. So, you know, you should be able to approach the temple president. You should be able to. It is basically one of the duties of the temple president to give support to the devotees. Otherwise, you know, you've got to sort of look around and see, maybe there's someone who other devotees are approaching. You know, that way they're kind of established, even though it's informal. They're giving some guidance to other devotees. But if you need help, find it. Don't become like, you know, a time bomb. Because these problems, if particularly if they're a little serious problems, they generally tend to just escalate. And then after a little while, you know, you lose it. Why is Maya and most demons referred to as she? It's okay, ladies. Most of the demigods. Okay, anyway. Well, yeah, Maya happens to be a she. You know, Maya, though, Maya's a devotee. And like we say, she's trying to sort of pull us down. But why is she doing that? Because she's testing us. Are you going to fall down? Are you going to fall down? Are you going to fall down? She wants us to stand up. Yeah. And she'll keep pushing us until we actually do. Yeah. So it's not that Maya and most demons are referred to as she. I mean, Maya happens to be a she. But, you know, most of the demons on that level, you know, like the celestial demons, most of them are men. It is highly emphasized in Krishna consciousness to get a spiritual master. How does one get one, and is it important for one to know about the spiritual master's past before just blindly accepting him as your spiritual master? Yeah, well, it is emphasized. It's important. It's important. Spiritual master is the representative of Krishna and connects one to Krishna and helps one on an ongoing basis. Be connected and strengthen one's connection. One gets one. Well, you know, discuss with the senior devotees. They'll tell you who are the spiritual masters who are sort of around, at least locally, and most accessible in that sense. And then you've got to listen to them, associate with them. you know, if even personally also, or at least hear them present Krishna consciousness, and to know about their past. Well, you know, if they have a past before Krishna consciousness, which generally they do, that doesn't matter. But to understand, you know, how they've been practicing Krishna consciousness over a period of time, that's nice. That's nice. Then you can appreciate them as devotees a little bit deeply, a little deeper. Do we get spiritual masters that are women? If not, why? Well, you do. You do. Not so many, but you do. Depression is in the mode of ignorance. How is that for a brief and to the point answer? Depression is in the mode of ignorance. Please elaborate on what that means, because depression has been known, depression has been known as a scientific establishment that you can't really control, but you can suppress. Well, you know, if I sort of extrapolate a little. Yeah, you know, if people, more people get under the control of their minds, then the more they're susceptible to whatever the mind gets into. And if the mind becomes habituated to thinking negatively, even like, you know, in illusory ways, like I mentioned, people who have inferiority complexes, it's kind of a related phenomenon, that the person's just some ordinary, normal, you know, just typical person, really. But somehow the mind just goes on and on about how the person's no good. And they have not, their intelligence is not strong enough to stop it and actually accept. Well, one devotee, I mean, it's sort of a related thing to some degree. One devotee approached Prabhupada one time and said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, I am the most fallen. He's not trying to be depressed, but, you know, that sort of feeling, I'm very lowly, I'm useless, and, you know, I'm just the most fallen. And Prabhupada said, actually, you are not the most anything. You are simply insignificant. So, you know, there may be even people sitting here who are sort of prone to becoming like very negative about themselves. But, you know, you should know you're just insignificant. You're not really, you know, you're not even the biggest fool. There's so much competition for the position. The biggest fool, the most degraded, the most stupid, the most unpleasant, all these things. There's a lot of competition. So generally speaking, devotees, we're all just fairly typical, normal, run-of-the-mill, conditioned souls, and nothing really to get very excited about, positively or negatively. And we should rather just take shelter and pray, please help me to make progress in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Because, you know, I've known one devotee at least who was prone to depression and, well, actually enough of it. And it's very destructive. But the thing is, it's not real. It suggests, in that state, ideas come to you that you are something that you're not. You know, like ultimately, like Robin Williams, that you're just so out of it. It's just, you're just so far gone, you just got to kill yourself. You know, and it's not true. It's just not true. What you should do is understand, okay, I have a fallen condition soul, you know, lost in this material world. But if I take shelter of Krishna, then even though I am just lacking in the extreme, but by Krishna's grace, even someone like me can be saved and go back to Godhead and be very happy in the meantime. So yeah, depression is in the mode of ignorance. And the mind, the intelligence loses control of the mind. And the mind just gets onto a certain track and it just goes and goes and sure, it's very bad. Is it possible to balance your material desires and spirituality? If not, how do you get rid of them and progress more towards Krishna? Well, it's possible in certain particular ways. Like the attraction to the opposite sex we've mentioned a couple of times. So that can be balanced in Krishna consciousness through Krishna conscious household life. Means actually marrying some, you know, suitable member of the opposite sex and getting together and really trying to work together in Krishna consciousness and bring up a family in Krishna consciousness. But if you have other, you know, like if your material desire is to drink liquor or something like that, it's much more difficult to dovetail. It may not be possible at all. Yeah. So, you know, if your material desire is to eat meat, there's certain vegetarian foodstuffs which, you know, you could, which sort of resemble meat to some degree. So, but hopefully you would get out of that and just, you know, not become a soya addict. I know one devotee in Durban, many years devotee, and he just got into soya. He just got into soya. And he got soya poisoning a few times. Yeah, seriously, he ended up in hospital. There's something in it. He got poisoning two or three times. Nice devotee. Paneer. You know, they say if you fry shredded cabbage, you know, smaller amounts, and if you spice it with hing and maybe fenugreek, then it ends up tasting something like onions. So it's possible, you know, don't think it's possible to balance. Like, did you ever try or see anyone try? They're in a boat, like a small boat, and the wharf is there, the jetty, and they have one leg in the boat and one leg on the jetty, one foot on the jetty, and now we're balancing. We're between the boat and the jetty, best of both worlds. But it doesn't work, you know, and you end up in the water in the middle. So don't try to do things in such a way that your material desires are just facilitated because then you won't really make progress in Krishna consciousness. But household life done nicely in Krishna consciousness, you have the sort of the facilities of that. Plus, if done nicely, you can all make nice progress. Sometimes we get stuck stubbornly to a particular service or situation and don't want to be known as a quitter, even though it's not working. Is it always goodness to try to stick with a former decision? It can be very humiliating admitting we have to give up. Well, yeah, don't be so proud that if you really can't manage something, don't be so proud that you cannot stand up and say, look, you know, I can't really do this. If you've really tried, if you've actually tried. Because sometimes Krishna arranges. You get some service to do, but Krishna has some other idea for you. And so somehow or other, in one way or another, that service doesn't work. But actually it's Krishna arranging so you can now get the opportunity to do the other service, which was something he had in mind. So anyway, try your best. Always try your best. But if after repeated tries you can't do it, discuss it with the authorities. And you know, it's part of humility sometimes to just admit, you know, I can't do it. With decisions made prior to joining the Krishna conscious movement, as in what we choose to study or what career to follow, although we might change the ultimate goal to the mode of goodness, but unfortunately, the path is tainted with ignorance. Although we might have to follow this long path of ignorance, How do we remain aloof and untouched? Well, you know, if you really see it's something really unsuitable, then make a change. if you're talking, you know, if you're studying, if you're talking about studying, you're still young. And if it's really not suitable, make a change. Otherwise, if it's sort of, you know, not too unsuitable, then maybe make the best use of a bad bargain. If it's not too unsuitable. Because you'll find in due course that any material activity, even if you're expert at it, any material activity is not very satisfying, really. Yeah. Some initial thrill, then get into it, you're successful, you're doing well. But after a while you find it's mundane. It's really material. Is it necessary for a devotee to make his or her environment Krishna conscious? Can't a devotee transcend the dirtiness of his or her environment? Like his or her room. But why? Why? Krishna's living there with you. Why let Krishna live in an unpleasant place? And if you're actually making progress, then you'll feel, I don't want to live like this. And you won't be able to live like that if you're actually making progress. Yeah. You know, I think it's an excuse for laziness. You're figuring out which is the best question, okay? Where's the prasadam? Is it there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's it. As a neophyte devotee, how does one make a wise decision when one is constantly trying to be a human being and break free from their animalistic conditioning? Well, like we said, if you find or you feel that you're really not able to make a good decision, then approach someone who can help you. Yeah. Approach someone who can help you. Yeah. Someone who understands you. Someone who's prepared to really think about it and give it, you know, their best effort. How does one make a wise decision in choosing the ideal partner for marriage? What is wise about being with someone for the longest time when you're never going to really know them? You're just going to understand them, or at least attempt to, and never succeed in that. Keeping in mind that a person can change at any given moment, in capital letters. You know, it may well be, and I believe it's probably true, that it's not possible, or, you know, it's so difficult in the extreme to find the actual, you know, the ideal partner. The actual ideal partner out of the, you know, 7 billion human beings on the planet and the many millions of devotees, you will actually find the ideal partner. It's like, you know, how in many situations there are a number of possible good choices in many situations, and they may not be like the ideal choice. You know, the ideal partner, if there's a like a real possibility of finding the ideal partner, means who you will never have an argument with. Hare Krishna. Yeah, who you will never, ever have a disagreement with, who you will always agree on everything with. You know, it's only in the fairy tales, maybe, Goloka Vrindavan. So, but you know what, I'll tell you what, is that traditionally in Vedic society, there was, you know, like a scientific process for choosing through astrology and etc. And not just astrology, but, you know, a number of things for actually understanding the natures of the two people and then making, you know, the best choices under the circumstances in that way, in an actual scientific way. Yeah. So what is happening now in ISKCON in some places is that there are devotees who are like a marriage council, and they help with different things, but they help with that, trying to connect up and see the suitability of the different people who want to be married, and then giving them some training before they actually become married, and like supervising a testing period to try and see the suitability to, you know, some reasonable degree. And then once they are married, to help them, you know, adjust to it and then deal with the realities of it. And then also to develop programs for the children. This is going on in some places. And it's, you know, it's essentially like the Vedic system. And, you know, it's a Krishna conscious way of trying to address this, you know, subject. And as far as the person changing, what's the fact? As people age, they change. Definitely a fact. And you know, there's a famous Italian joke, do you know, about how women change their minds? Do you know that joke? Maybe I shouldn't tell you. Should I tell you? There's this man. He found a bottle and he rubbed it and out came a genie. And the genie said, well, here I am. Tell me what you want. And the man said, okay. Well, what did he say? He thought of something. And the genie, you know, like, I want all the money in the world. And the genie said, oh, come on. No, make a reasonable request. And the man said, well, okay, I have relatives in New York. Can you please build a bridge across the Atlantic so I can drive over to visit them? And the genie said, oh, come on. Oh, come on. Make a serious request, will you? And the man said, oh, okay. Let me think. So, yeah, well, can you help me to understand my wife? And the genie said, how many lanes did you want that bridge? You're not offended too much. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was the same devotee who came up with the joke that a devotee went to visit the Pope in the Vatican in Rome. So he's been there talking to the Pope, and he sees on the Pope's desk is a big red telephone. And the devotee said, what's this phone? What is it? What's it for? And the Pope said, oh, it's a direct line. It's a direct line up there to him. Yeah, to God. And the devotee said, wow, really? Can I make a call? And the Pope said, yeah, okay, it's very expensive. So the devotee made a call. It was Krishna. And Krishna said, oh, you. How's the Sankirtan movement going? How's the preaching going? And they spoke for a minute or two, devotee hung up. And the Pope said, you know, it's a really long distance call, extremely expensive. It's $100 for 2 minutes. So the devotee gave him $100. Later, the Pope went to India. That devotee was the president of the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. And the Pope, you know, is traveling around in there and then suddenly remembered, I should go and visit my Hare Krishna friend in Vrindavan. Yeah, let me go and visit him. So he went to the Krishna Balaram temple and walked in, and there's the president, his friend. And they sat down there talking. And the Pope saw that on the president's table was a big red telephone. And he said, you have one of these too? And the devotee said, yeah, direct line, I've got that. And the Pope said, well, can I make a call? So he made a call and he spoke to Krishna. And Krishna said, you know, are you letting people have abortions? You're still not letting women be priests. What are you doing? Chastised him a bit for a couple of minutes. And the Pope hung up and said, that was heavy. And he pulled out $100 bill. He said, okay, how much is that? Is $100 enough? And the president said, no, don't worry about it. It's on the house, don't worry. Because here, to call Krishna here in Vrindavan, it's just a local call. Phrase the same for that. Okay, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. So shall we have some? Oh no, we got to judge. Okay. How many do you have, actually?
We've got
13
and we just have one more.
Okay, okay. So just one little confession I must make is that, you know, I've never done a class on this sort of subject before. And, you know, it's not exactly up my alley, so sorry if it wasn't, you know, completely to the point so much, but hopefully you gain something from it. Okay. So how many prizes do we have to give?
We've got, well, we can actually do another one. So we've got three that got the high score, so we can...
Okay. Three.
Yeah.
The first equal.
Yeah, three were
equal. The first equal. Okay, so... Which okay. What were their questions?
Question 12 was the question about the neophyte being versus being a human being. Question 12.
Ah, okay. Second to last, I think.
Question 12.
As a neophyte devotee, how does one make a wise decision when one is constantly trying to be a human being and break free from their animalistic conditioning? Whose question was that? You have come first equal. Seriously?
Well, there she is.
Oh, sorry. Okay, please come forward. What's your name?
Cindy.
Cindy. Cindy. Cindy. Congratulations to Cindy. Mahaprasadam from Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Don't worry, we'll give you some. Okay, who's next?
It was the 10th question. It was decisions being made prior to joining the Krishna
consciousness. Okay, okay. Which decision, with decisions made prior to joining the Krishna consciousness movement, as in what we choose to study or what career to follow, although we might change the ultimate goal to the mode of goodness, but unfortunately the path, because we already chose a certain path before, is tainted with ignorance. Although we might have to follow this long path of ignorance, how do we remain aloof and untouched? Whose question was that? Wow. But then, Melissa. And third one.
It was question number 9, Gurudev. It was the ones about being stubbornly attached to service.
Sometimes we get stuck stubbornly to a particular service or situation and don't want to be known as a quitter, even though it's not working. Is it always, quote-unquote, goodness to try to stick with a former decision? It can be very humiliating admitting we have to give up. Okay. Good one. Who was that? Yeah? Oh, it was you. Wow. And what's your name? Brother Manasi Ganga. No. Never could. Never say die.
Oh, what?
Is there another one, or is that it? That's it, okay. And some young devotee.
What, a tissue?
Yeah.
Chaitanya Haribol. So now, shall we have some questions? You're going to make an announcement?
Yes. While with BYS Pretoria, we came up with a little performance, a song for the pleasure of everyone. So if we can just sing it for the song.
Do you want the mic? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Give him the mic. Or just the mic.
They say they don't want it.
Oh, when I look, oh, up in the sky, I see some birds were flying up there. I'ma tell you a story.
Tell you a story.
The Krishna's alive. Oh, when I look,
oh, when I look
up in the sky, I see some birds. They're flying up there. I'ma tell you a story. The Krishna's alive. Shoo-be-doo-ba-ba, yeah. Shoo-be-doo-ba. I'ma shoo-be-doo-ba-ba, yeah. Shoo-be-doo-ba.
Thank you.